I'm not hearing any audio yet. Is the shear starting?
It will start momentarily.
Oh, okay, great.
Am I audible? I have 9:15 right now. I'm going to give everybody 30 more seconds, and then we will get to it. All right. Okay. Welcome back, everybody. We are in the beginning of the second parak of Maseches Tamid, at the Mishnah Daf Chaf Ches Amud Beis in your Gemaras. And I thought also maybe it would be, I assume many of us probably mind and thought about this as we were doing our learning, but it's probably appropriate that we should dedicate our learning that anybody who is sick and suffering right now with complications from the COVID-19 virus, so hopefully our learning should be a zechus for their speedy refuah shlema. So I think that would be an appropriate that we can all dedicate our sumim as we make them next week to help that to help those who are in need of refuah shlema.
Baruch Hashem Yisrael.
Amen. Okay, so let's begin the Mishnah, and we've spoken a little bit about the Truma Sedeshen, and now we're going to lead Sedeshen into the next stages of the Avoda that took place in the Beis HaMikdash each and every day. We're not quite at the Karban HaTamid yet, but we're almost there, so stay tuned. The Mishnah tells us, Re'u Echav Shiyarad V'heim Ratzim Ubayim. So once the Kohen who does the Truma Sedeshen finishes the Truma Sedeshen, all the other Kohanim are going to see that he is finished, so he's going to go down from the Mizbeach, and they're going to run, and they're going to come to take in the avoda of the day. So Maru v'kitshu yadeim v'raglayim. So they first all come and they feed min ha-kiur from the kiur. Nutlu es hamagrefos v'esat sinoros, and they pick up the shovels and the different forks that are used. The alu l'rosh mizbeach, and they join the kohen to come to the top of the mizbeach. Ha'evarim v'ha'bedarim shalonis achlu mi'ba'erv. So any of the limbs or fats from the karbanos that did not fully get burned from the previous night, so they take them solken osan al tzidei ha'mizbeach. They remove them to the sides of the mizbeach. Im ein tzedadim machzikin, and if there's so much that's left that the sides of the mizbeach cannot hold all that's left over, sojim osan besovev al hakevesh. So they would actually take some of those leftover karbanos that had not fully that were not fully burned to a crisp, and they would put them on the sovev, which was the platform that surrounded the top of the mizbeach that the kohanim would actually use to walk around the mizbeach. The mizbeach was very, very large. So to get to the different places on the mizbeach, we'll see that the mizbeach had a few different fires that were used for different purposes in the karbanos of the day. So there was a sovev, there was a platform that surrounded the mizbeach that the kohanim could actually walk around. So this sovev, if there was too much stuff left over, so some of the stuff would end up being put on the sovev, al hakevesh, hechelu malin be'efer al gav tapuach. And so what they would do is they would then start sweeping the ashes into a big pile into the middle of the mizbeach, which was called the tapuach. Tapuach haya be'emsa mizbeach. This was in the middle of the mizbeach. Pamim shahayu alav kishlosh meos kor. It was sometimes it got so high, there was so much action on the mizbeach, so many karbanos that were burned. There was so much ash that 300 kor, which is a very large measurement, was left in this tapuach in the middle of the mizbeach. Uber regalim, and if it was one of the shalosh regalim, lo hayu midashnin oso mipnei shehu noil mizbeach. They would actually not clean it off. They would actually not take off all of these ashes. They would leave them on the mizbeach and the pile and the tapuach because this was considered to be like a decoration, so to speak. This was a symbol that the mizbeach was in such high usage that it was a compliment to see all the action that the mizbeach was getting on the shalosh regalim when so many people would be coming with all of their karbanos. Umiyamav Lonis Atzel Akoim Milhotzi Sedeshen. And this avoda, which is all sort of the conclusion of the Truma Sedeshen, this was in all the days of the Beis HaMikdash, there was never an instance where the Kohanim were lazy, that they weren't very alacritous in trying to take this cleaning process to get the Mizbeach ready for that day's karbanos. Top of Chavtes Amar Aleph, Hechelu Malin Begizrin Lesader Es Hamaracha. Once they had done and finished this process, and the Mizbeach was clean, the first coals were taken off, and then some of the leftovers were pushed to the side, and the ashes were piled up in a heap in the middle. So then they would start actually preparing the fires that would be lit on the different parts of the Mizbeach. So they would take the wood, Lesader Es Hamaracha, to set up the fire. So the Mishnah asks, was any type of wood okay to set up the fires that would be lit on the Mizbeach? And the Mishnah says, Hain, yes, kol ha'itzim kasher in the maracha. All trees, all types of wood are kosher for the pyre that was lit on the Mizbeach. Chutz mishel gefen v'shel zayis, except for two types of trees, the gefen, the grapevine, and the zayis, and the olive tree. Those types of wood were not allowed to be used as part of the maracha. Would not be part of the pyre that was on the Mizbeach. The Gemara will tell us why that is in a little bit. Shel egos v'shel h, I'm sorry, aval be'elu hayu regilin. So anything was allowed, but if you want to know what was the normal go-to wood that they would use for the maracha, here's what they used to use. The marbios shel te'ena, they used to use long branches of fig trees, shel egos of walnut trees, Bishel ate shemen, and of oil trees. So it's interesting, it's a little bit unclear exactly what kind of tree was an oil tree, but apparently there were some trees that had fruits that produced oil, but obviously we're not talking about the olive tree because the Mishnah says that the olives were not used for the maracha, but other types of trees that produce some sort of oil, they were used as part of the maracha. These were the most commonly used trees, presumably because their wood burns very nicely. It was easily burnt and it created a nice fire. Cedar es hamaracha gedola. So first they would start with the large maracha. The large maracha, the large pyre, mizracha. It was on the eastern side of the mizbeach. Bechazisa mizracha veroshe gezirin hapanimim hayunogin b'tapuach. So it would be on the eastern side and there would be openings. They would pile up the wood, but they wouldn't pack it so tightly. There would be some openings. The edges of these pieces of wood, they would span from the eastern side of the Mizbeach, and they would actually touch the ashes that were in the middle of the Mizbeach. So they were pretty nice, they were pretty big pieces of wood that would span about, almost half of the diameter of the Mizbeach. The Mishnah continues, Vereva chaya bein ha-gezarim, and there was some space between the gezarim, shahayu metzisim es ha-alisa misham. And there was some space that they would from which they would throw different splinters and more wood when they would have to add wood to the azara. So there was some space to add those to throw those pieces of wood in. Biru misham atse to ena yafim, and they would from there pick the fine pieces of fig wood. Sider es hamaracha shnia lekitoris, and they would take that wood and they would create a second maracha, a second pyre on the mizbeach. And this pyre was the pyre that was used to burn the coals that would eventually be taken into the heichal to be used to burn the ketores. So the ketores was not burned on the mizbeach hachitzon. It was not burned on the mizbeach in the azara, which is the mizbeach that we're talking about. The ketores were burned on the mizbeach hapanimi, but the coals that were lit to use and used to burn the ketores, they came from this maracha, which was on the mizbeach hachitzon. See there as amaracha shnia the ketores kineged ma'arav isdromis, and this was in the southwestern corner of the mizbeach hachitzon mashuch min hakeren klapet zafon arba amos. It was a little bit set out from the corner of the mizbeach towards the northern side, going north on the mizbeach, and it was 4 amos north. Be'omed chamesh sa'in gecholim. And they would use approximately 5 sa'ah, which is the measurement of coals that they would want to obtain from this second maracha to be used for the burning of the ketores. So they would put enough wood that they would end up being left with approximately 5 sa'ah of coals. Over Shabbos, and on Shabbos, they would actually put some extra wood, the omed shimone sa'in gechalim, shesham hayu nosnim shnei baziki labona shalechem aponim. So there would be extra wood that was put there before Shabbos because they would want to have more coals, because on Shabbos they also had to have the two spoonfuls of the frankincense that was part of the Lechem HaPanim that was placed on the Shulchan every Shabbos at the end of each week. If there were leftover limbs or fats from the animals that weren't totally subsumed in the fire, from the night before, machzirnos on the marav. So they were piled up on the sides to make room for the kohanim to make all of these different accommodations on the mizbeach. And now, if they were not fully consumed, they would be replaced onto the mizbeach. They would be put back onto the mizbeach to burn and to finish their burning process. Veheitzisu shtei marachos ba'ish, and they would kindle the two marachos, the two pyres that they made. They would light them on fire. Yardu, they would go down from the mizbeach, ubo lahem lelishchas hagazis, and they would return. They would leave from the mizbeach, and they would go into the lishchas hagazis, which would be the place where they would do the next lottery to figure out who was going to do the avoda for the offering of the karbon hatamid that was going to be offered next on the mizbeach. So now the Gemara picks up on some of the issues that are addressed in this Mishnah. The Gemara quotes from Rava, Amar Rava, Guzma. There was one line in this Mishnah which Rava says is an exaggeration. The Mishnah had said that when they would pile up the ashes in the middle of the Mizbeach into the Tapuach, they would make it into this big pile, that there were some times that the ashes were so plentiful that there were 300 kor, which is a huge, huge number. So Rava says, don't take that number literally. That was not a realistic number. It's an exaggeration. They didn't really mean 300 kor. It just meant there were some times it was a lot of ashes. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Ami, Dibra Torah Lashon Havoi. So we have some instances where the Torah exaggerates, speaks in an imprecise fashion. Dibru Nevi'im B'Lashon Havoi. And sometimes you have that even that the Nevi'im would also speak in an exaggerated fashion. Divru Chachamim Lashon Havoi. And even our sages, in their parlance, they would also speak in an exaggerated fashion sometimes. So here are some examples. Dibra Torah Lashon Havoi. The Torah spoke in an exaggerated fashion, dechsiv, like the pasuk says, arim gedolos uvitzuros b'shamayim. There were the cities when the Meraglim went to Eretz Israel to spy and to see what the land was like. They said they were huge cities with large walls. The walls went all the way up to Shamayim. Obviously, they didn't go up to Shamayim. That was an exaggeration. Sal gadaita, b'shamayim sal gadaita. You really think they reached the Shamayim? Ela Guzma, and rather you see that the Torah uses exaggerated language, that the walls were very, very high, the cities were very fortified, so it uses an exaggeration. The walls were all the way up to Shemayim. Dibru Chachamim Lashon Havoi, Hada Amran. What's an example when our sages would use Lashon Havoi, when they would be exaggerated? That is the example that we gave in our Mishnah, that they said that the Tapuach would have 300 kor of ashes. So the Gemara continues, Tapuach, Vihishku, Ron Tapuach, good. Vihishku es hatamid bekoshel zahav. Another example, when Chazal would use an exaggerated language, is that they said that they would give the animal tamid to drink, they would give it to drink from a golden cup. That you don't give to animals to drink from a golden cup. Rather, it was an exaggeration that it looked like a golden cup. It had the appearance of a golden cup, but it obviously wasn't a golden cup. Dibru Nevi'im Lashon Havoi, an example when the Nevi'im spoke in an exaggerated fashion, Dechsiv, Bechol Am Ha'aretz Mechalim Bechalilim, that in the time during David HaMelech, there was a big celebration and everyone was celebrating in their flutes, V'tzivaka Ha'aretz Likolam, and it was so loud that it was like an earthquake was taking place. So obviously it wasn't that the earth was really shaking, but it was a very labidic party, so therefore it's as if there was an earthquake. Amar Rabbi Yanai Bar Nachmeni Amar Shmuel, Bishlosha Mikomos Dibru Chachamim Belashon Havai. Rabbi Yanai Bar Nachmeni says in the name of Shmuel that there were three instances where our sages spoke in an exaggerated fashion. Now remember, our Gemara, our Mishnah seems to be one of them, that the Tapuach had 300 kor of ashes. And then the other example was that they would give to drink to the Karban HaTamid before they would offer the Karban HaTamid. They would give to drink from a golden cup. That was another example. And now, Rabbi Yanai Bar Nachmeni says in the name of Shmuel, here are the three examples that Chazal spoke in an exaggerated fashion. Tapuach, Gefen, Uparoches. So the three examples, one is the Tapuach, one is having to do with some grapevines, and one is having to do with the Parochas, with the curtains in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says that this statement is Lafuke B'Dirava. This is to preclude what Rava told us a minute ago, Ditznan hishku es hatamid bekosh shel zahav. Because Rava told us that there was an additional time when Chazal spoke in a language that was exaggerated, and that is when they said that the carbon atamid would drink from a golden cup. And that, he says, is an exaggeration. V'amar Rava guzma. And this, Rava said, it was an exaggeration. Kamash malon honey. So Rabbi Yanai bar Nachmeni, name of Shmuel, is trying to teach us the following. Ein honey in these three examples, tapuach, gefen, uparoches, these are examples of exaggerated language in Chazal. Hasam, the example that Rava gave in the context of the carbon tumid, that it would be used, that they would use a golden cup to let it drink, that's low. That's not an exaggeration. Why not? Ein anius b'makom ashirus. And this is a concept that we mentioned in the first year, that when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, there's a principle that ein anius b'makom ashirus. The Beis HaMikdash was a very lavish enterprise. And when you have a lavish enterprise, you don't start thinking about any how much something costs. You don't want to think about anything that has to do with being frugal. You just say, whatever, we want the nicest things to happen, so we spend money and we don't think about it. So to give your animal to drink from a golden cup, that's perfectly fine, because ein anius b'makom ashirus. Everything's so lavish, so the animals will also drink from lavish cups. They'll drink from golden cups. So that, they say, is not like Rava. Rava is saying that was an exaggeration. It's not true. That was literal. The animals really would drink from golden cups. So now the Gemara says the three examples that, according to Rabbi Yanai bar Nachmeni, in the name of Shmuel, the three examples of Havai, so one is the Tapuach, and the other was the Geffen, and the other is the Parocha. So now it's just going to explain to us what the details of those exaggerations were. So tapuach hod amron. The tapuach we know. That's our Mishnah. The Mishnah said the tapuach was a 300 core of ash. That's an exaggeration. What's the example? What's the gefen? What's that a reference to? The Gemara says, the Tanya, gefen zohav haisa umenes al pesach hachichal. There was a golden vine of grapes that would stand at the Pesach, the opening to the Heichal, the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. U modla al gabe klonsos. And it was hanging over some tall beams. V'kol mi shenisnadev Allah. And anybody who wanted to donate a leaf, gargir, turning over to chafesam vase, or a grape, eshkol, or a cluster, and these were all golden golden models of grapes and leaves and clusters, mevi v'toleba. So anybody who wanted to bring could bring, and they could give a gift to the Beis HaMikdash, these decorations of golden grapes and clusters and leaves, and it would be added to this vine that was hanging in front of the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok. So Rabbi Elazar says the name Rabbi Tzadok. Maisa Haya, there was once a scenario, v'nimnu aleha shlosh mios kohanim lifnosa, that so many people had donated to this vine, this golden decoration in front of the Beis HaMikdash, and that it became so humongous that they needed 300 kohanim to just move it a little bit. It was so huge, they needed 300 kohanim. So the Gemara says that's an example of an exaggeration. It was a very beautiful vine. It was very nice that people would donate, but never did they really need 300 kohanim just to move this vine. Paroches, the paroches exaggeration having to do with the curtains in the Beis HaMikdash. What's the example of what's the meaning of that exaggeration? It's not like we learned in the Mishnah, the Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Rabban Shimon Gamliel says, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, Hasgan Paroches Avya Tefach. I'm sorry, Rabbi Shimon Hasgan, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, the assistant. Paroches Avya Tefach. The Paroches, its thickness was one handbreadth. It was one fist. It was one Tefach. Al Shivim Vishnayim Nimin Ne'ereges. And it was woven on 72 shafts that were used as part of the loom. I don't actually appreciate what that means because I don't really understand how to use a loom or what a loom looks like. But apparently 72 was a lot of shafts. The Al-Kol Nima Venima, and with every one of these shafts that they would thread into these shafts, the different strings, the threads that were used to weave the paroches, Esrim v'arba chutin. Every single one of these 72 shafts would have 24 threads that were strung in them to weave the parochas. Archa arbaim, its length was 40 amma, arbaim amma, v'rachba esrim amma, and its width was 20 amma, umishmonim v'shushtayim ribo nasis. And it was made from 820,000. It's a machlokas if it was 820,000 people or 820,000 golden coins. But either way, that's a lot of people or a lot of coins for this parochas to be, for it to cost to make this parochas. That's a very, very astronomical number. So the Gemara says that is, that was somewhat the beginning of the exaggeration. Ushtayim osim b'chol shana v'shana, and they would make two of these every single year. V'shalosh meos kohanim matbilin osa. And in order, they would have to take it to the mikvah in order to purify it for usage in the Beis HaMikdash. And it would take 300 kohanim to take this paroches and to submerge it into the waters of the mikvah. So you see, these are all examples of exaggerations. Interesting that the number 300 seems to be the number of exaggerating in the Lashon of Chazal. Not sure what to make of that, but that seems to be an indication that we're exaggerating. Okay, back to the story of what was going on with the ma'aracha that they would light on the Mizbeach to prepare the Mizbeach to offer the Karban Atamim. Hechelu malin begizrin l'sadr samaracha. They would start to bring the pieces of wood in order to make the pyre to light the fire on the Mizbeach. And the Gemara tells us, chutz mishel zayis u'mishel gefen. The Mishnah said that you can use any wood, but you can't use wood of a zayis, of an olive tree, and you can't use the wood of a gefen, of a grapevine. Honey, my time. And the Gemara says, what's the problem with using wood of a zayas tree or wood that comes from the grapevine? Amar Papa tells us, mishum dekatri. Because apparently this wood would have some sort of knots in it, that it wasn't smooth, and these knots were made this wood a little bit more difficult to light, and the lighting wasn't, they wouldn't light as quickly, it wouldn't light as nicely. So if these types of wood, because of their texture, they were not appropriate to use for lighting the ma'aracha, for lighting the fire on the mizbeach. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, no. Mishum yishuv de'eretz Yisrael. The reason why these woods were not appropriate to use to light the ma'aracha on the mizbeach was because they would detract from the yishuv of Eretz Yisrael, from the settlement of the land of Israel. Because zayis and shemen, these were trees that we want to be producing, we want them to be growing in Israel so that people can harvest the grapes, can harvest the oil, and can harvest they can harvest the grapes. So therefore, if we're taking those trees and cutting them down to use in the maracha, it's going to detract from the quality of life of people who are trying to settle the land of Israel. So we don't want to detract from Yishuv Eretz Israel. So now the Gemara has a question. Meisve, Allah eats. It, when the pasuk says that the trees that were on the fire, etzim hanitochim lios eish, we wanted trees that would be good for lighting fires. Umai niu, what kind of trees were these? Dukri delokatri vaazli mikter mitocho. So the Gemara says these were any types of wood that did not have knots, that were smooth, that they were smooth pieces of wood, that the knots would not somehow go inside of the trees, which would make it more difficult for the trees to light. V'chikola etzim k'sherim l'maracha, and aren't all trees kosher for the maracha? Hain, yes, they are. Kol etzim k'sherim, chutz min zayis v'gefen. All trees are okay, except for the olive and the grapes, presumably because those trees have these knots, and therefore it makes for a harder fire to be lit. Aval be'elu ha'yurigilin. But even though any tree could be used, here were the ones that were most common. B'marbios shel te'ena v'shel egos v'shel etz shemen. Right, like we said in the Mishnah, the fig and the nuts and the other tree that produced oil. Rabbi Eliezer has another opinion. Mosif, he adds to the list of trees that were not suitable for lighting the mizbeach, for lighting the fire on the mizbeach, af shel mayish v'shel alon, v'shel dekel, v'shel charuv, v'shel shikma. So I'm not exactly sure what kind of tree a mayish tree is. There is also, or the alon tree, but a dekel is a palm tree, charuv is a carob tree, and shikma is a sycamore tree. Not that I actually know what all of those trees look like, but I think that's what they say the translations of those words are. Bishlama leman d'amar mishum d'katri. So now the Gemara says, oh, wait a second. What exactly is this machlokas? How many trees were not suitable? So our Mishnah said it was only the Gefen and the Shemen. Then Rabbi Eliezer comes along and says that there are a few other trees on that list that are trees that are not suitable. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the argument between these two opinions? So the Gemara says, Bishlama lamand amar mishum dekatri bahakamifligi. If you assume the whole issue with trees that cannot be used for the maracha, it's an issue of whether or not they have knots. So then I understand what the machlokas is. Here's what they're arguing over. Demar sabar afal gav delo katri migavoi. these trees, even though they don't have knots on the outside, came with the katri on the inside. I'm sorry, even though they don't have knots on the inside, came with the katri mibroi, since they have knots on the outside, lo maizinan, they're not good enough. Umar savar came to lo katri mikavoi, since the knots are not on the inside, afagav mibroi katri maizinan. Even though there are knots on the outside, that's good enough. When we say they can't be knots, the knots can't be on the inside. On the outside is okay. Elo lamanda amar. But if you think the shemen and the zayas has nothing to do with the knots, it has to do with yishuv eretz Yisrael. So elo lamanda amar mishum yishuv eretz Yisrael, dekel mi leisbe mishum yishuv eretz Yisrael. When Rabbi Eliezer comes along and says that you can't use a dekel, you can't use a palm tree, so that means that the other opinion, the Mishnah, thinks you can use a palm tree. Why would you be able to use a palm tree? Isn't a palm tree important for yishuv eretz Yisrael? What kind of yishuv eretz Yisrael would you have if you walked down the street and you didn't see palm trees? So the Gemara says, how could it be that you don't use palm trees? It must be that the issue has nothing to do with yishuv eretz Yisrael. It must be that it has to do with knots. The Gemara answers, no. Amr lecha, the man who thinks that it has to do with yishuv eretz Yisrael will tell you, ula ta'ameich, te'ena leisbe mishum yishuv eretz Yisrael. Wait a second. You included te'ena, you included a fig tree. Is a fig tree, everyone agrees that a fig tree can be used on the Mizbeach. That was one of the most commonly used, that was one of the commonly used things. So you can, of course, use a fig tree. Is that not detracting from Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Don't you want to have fig trees that you can grow figs and eat your figs? So that detracts from Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, when we're talking about the dekel and the fig tree, it must be the following. Elamai Yislach Lameimar, what would you say? B'te'ena de'lo avida pira. We're only talking about, when we're talking about trees that in theory could produce fruit, but are not producing fruit, but are being used on the Ma'aracha, it must be because those types of trees, even though it's a fig tree, it's not producing fruit. Dekel nami b'de'lo avid pira. So too, we'll say that the dekel, the palm tree that we would use, is a palm tree that's not going to produce fruit, and that's why it can be used on the Ma'aracha. And we will stop here. We have a little bit more to go in the parak. We'll stop here for tonight. Tomorrow we'll just finish off this discussion about the trees that can or cannot produce fruit. More of a side point. And then we will start the next parak in terms of the pious for the carbon.
What time tomorrow?
Tomorrow's our Shabbos.
I'm sorry, tomorrow's Friday. So it's not tomorrow. We're going to take tomorrow off and we're going to do Motzei Shabbos. Motzei Shabbos, same time, 9:15. Is that good for everybody? 9:15.
Yeah.
Motzei Shabbos, which will mean.
Yeah, that should work for me. That should work for me also.
How does anyone feel about doing the 5 extra minutes now just to finish up the parak before we go into a 2-day break?
I'm good with that.
5 minutes? 5 extra minutes? Let's finish up.
I'm good with that too, yeah.
Great. Anyone who doesn't want to finish the parak, they can publicly leave this and everyone will know who didn't want to finish up the parak. Okay. All right. So we can, all right, we'll finish up the parak and then Motzei Shabbos 9:15 will start the next parak. And that will bring us Motzei Shabbos Sunday night, Monday night, and on Tuesday night we will be set to finish in time for everybody to make the siyum on Wednesday morning. What we'll try to do is, I think it might be nice. Everybody, of course, this is the point of this is so that everybody can make their own siyum. But what we'll make, what we'll do is, I'll set a time that if anyone can be together, we'll all make the siyum together. We can all say the Hadron Halachos together over Zoom. So I'll try and find a time. If you can make it, great. And if it doesn't work, then no problem. You can make it at your own convenience.
That would be great.
Okay.
So I wanted to ask you one thing. Can I ask you one thing? When we're saying palms, are we talking about date trees that don't do fruit?
I'm sorry?
When we're saying palms, are we saying date trees that don't produce fruit?
Yes, correct.
I just wanted to make sure because you didn't say that.
Yeah, sorry. Yes, that's correct.
Tuesday night will be after Bedikas Chametz.
Tuesday night will be after Bedikas Chametz. Yeah, I'll have to look at the Zmanim to see in terms of how the Zmanim work out. Will 9:15 be too early for people?
It's 8:07 is the earliest for Bedikas.
Okay. So I assume we'll just keep it at the 9:15 to keep everything standard. Okay, great. Here we go.
Let's finish the parak. Umi ika te'ena, de'lo avda pira. Is it really true that there's such a fig tree that doesn't produce fruit? In, of course there is. Kedirachba, like Rachba says. Daba Rachba, like Rachba says. Ma'isi te'ena chiyorta. You should bring a fig tree that's white. Vishayfi lehu bechabla tzitzavsa. And you should rub it with a rope that's made of palm branch. or palm bark, disarich alei bizra, and that will remove the seeds from it. V'kavri hecha demasik yama shirton, and then you should dig it deep down into the ground so that it goes very deep where the water collects. In this type of wood, this type of tree, when you plant it in this fashion, kura avda, it will be very good for producing strong wooden boards. Piri lo avda, but it will not produce fruit. Utzlas briche minayu lo machzaka lohu gamla. And three branches of this tree will not be supported by a bridge. See, there is a maracha gdola. So then the Mishnah told us that they would make the large maracha, which was used for offering the karbanos on the mizbeach. That's where the karbanos would be burned. And in this maracha, they would make a chazis on the east side. They would make a little space on the east side, a sort of window that they would have access to in this fire. My timer says the Gemara, what would be the purpose of this chazisa, of this window? Rav Huna v'Rav Chisto, Chadamar Kedesh Teheya Revach HaRuach Mena Shevesba. One opinion was that there should be wind that should be able to get through into the window to make the fire continue. The Chadamar Kedesh Metzisa Neshaelisa Misham. And another said that there should be a space for them to add more wood to the fire. Meisve, the Gemara has a question. Revach Haya Behen. Didn't we understand, didn't we learn that there were spaces between the rows of the wood, that it wasn't so packed together that they would be able to throw in different pieces of wood for the fire? So what do they need this space in the chazisa for? So amelacha, mekomos, mekomos, avdi. You know, there were many spaces, different places where they could add wood to the ma'aracha. Hajran alach, ru'u echav, and we will continue to on Motzei Shabbos with the next parak of Amr Lahen, Hamimuna. Have a great night, everybody.